Top of the morning, beautiful people. Top of the morning, it's Nate Max here. How are you today? I hope you're all good. So I just did like literally a 45-minute fucking gangster live just then, and I tried to turn my phone on silent because people were fucking ringing me, and it just disappeared. Oh my God. And it was so good. Fuck, it was the best live I've done ever, I reckon. Oh, can I pull a rabbit out of the hat for round two? My God, can I do that? What was I even talking about? It's like channeled. That's the thing when I do lives. I don't plan them. I'll just be walking or I'll be somewhere and this message will come in my brain. I'll be like, boom. I'll be like, you need to do a live. And I just do it. And at the end, I don't even know what I said. I'm like, did I say that? That's fucked. Who said that? That wasn't even me. What the fuck? So, okay. Right, poise yourself. Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. So, anyway, guys, how are you? How is everyone? It's been an interesting kind of couple of months, hasn't it? Highs and lows, and lots of big planetary Schumann frequency releases, and subatomic particles being released from the sun, and mass coronal ejections, and all these things that have been like wiping us out, eh? Some days I get up and it's like, bzzz, I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And the next day it's like, ding, yes. Highs and lows, highs and lows. I've been pretty quiet, as you guys know. We've been building this fucking monster business, which has been doing really well. Biggest form of activism I've ever done in my life, so that's been great. And I've been meeting a lot of, I've been meeting a lot of interesting characters since I've leveled up. And, I went to a presentation recently, actually, as a VIP guest. I came in at a wealth creation kind of coach seminar, and I came in as a VIP guest and spoke a little bit about the journey of building a unicorn. And like a unicorn's a business that has a valuation of $1 billion within the first 36 months. That's what we're doing right now. We've actually got two more unicorns coming. So yeah, we'll talk more about it later. But it was funny, so I said to him, I said, oh, I feel like I've kind of stepped off my spiritual journey a bit in the last few years. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I feel like I've been kind of tunnel vision on what I've been doing. I haven't been maybe giving as much as I used to. And he said, brother, he goes, chasing a unicorn, building a unicorn is the spiritual journey. And I was like, how? How does that make sense? And he's like, have you had to level up in the last 2 years more than you ever have in your entire life? And I'm like, yeah, fuck, I have. And I've thought about all the things that I've had to do in my life and the sacrifice I've had to make in the last 2 years to do this. Not just the hours and the work, but like cutting leaky people out of my life and being savvy with my time management, my money management, especially money management too, because, you're either onto it with all your bills and all your stuff, or you're not. And it's like, if you just look at a bill, it might be $155, but it's supposed to be 120, right? All you have to do is add a couple of extra zeros on the end, and then you work out how much money you're losing all over the place. And that's basically how you lose your wealth by not being onto it. So that was an interesting paradigm to think about that. Thinking about, I literally have had more spiritual growth in the last 2 years in my own personal development than I have in a lot. And it's because of actually running a massive business and all the stuff that comes with it and really leveling up on all levels. So that was an interesting kind of paradigm to actually realize that it's been a big growth spurt for me when actually I thought I wasn't growing. But I think about my life now. I'm in a much better place in many levels of my life than I have been. So, but yeah, the interesting thing is, I've been rubbing shoulders with a lot of super rich people in the last year. Lots of meetings, lots of people wanting to come on as investments, venture capitalists, big hedge funds and firms and investment capital places. A lot of travel overseas and meeting people, and yeah, I've been meeting a lot of billionaires. And the common theme with a lot of people is that they think that all rich people are like evil. Yeah, that's a common theme and a real generalization and definitely a misconception. And the more time I'm spending with these men and women, the more insight I get to understanding like their story, their lives, why they are the way they are. And And it's also a concept that I call the bubble concept, where, like, I, for example, live in an area in the northern New South Wales, kind of up away from town, kind of in a forest. And that's a bubble. And then the northern New South Wales itself is a bubble. It's a bubble of consciousness. It's a bubble of community and tribe and all the rest of it. And then you head out past the Tweed or past Ballina and the bubble pops, I guess. And then the Gold Coast has its own bubble. And then certain areas in the Gold Coast are a bubble within the bubble, like Sovereign Island, Runaway Bay, Broadbeach, all these kind of areas. It doesn't have to be the more affluent, richer areas, but they're just bubbles within the bubble. Even Burley Heads or Coolangatta, it's a bubble within the Gold Coast bubble, within the Australian bubble, within the Earth bubble. Bubbles, 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 lots of bubbles, right? And we get caught up in these bubbles, and we can become a bit complacent because it's comfortable, it's cruisy, it's good, it's nice. And the people that we hang out with are all kind of similar and like-minded, which is great. But is that great for the spiritual journey, for the spiritual growth? That's the big question. Like, is that really benefiting us? And I truly believe that we should be traveling to go meet other cultures, talk to other people, see what people are doing, get inspired, work out ways we can help other people or help ourselves. And I think that is a really important thing, to get outside of the bubble, for consciousness, for awareness, for growth, because we're here on a spiritual journey. It's an individual spiritual journey, whether we like to admit it or not. People like to think it's a collective consciousness thing, and it is. It's about raising the collective internal frequency so the planet goes through a planetary ascension process, an actual scientific planetary ascension process, not this spiritual woo-woo, ooh, I'm in the 5D now. Like, fuck off. Go fuck yourself. There's so much garbage out there, but so much truth out there too in this world. And this is how the world has to be. It's exciting, right? We wouldn't have it any other way. Like, this world is crazy right now. It's fucking crazy. But how exciting is it for your evolutionary journey? If you're in a state of fear, yeah, you're going to be like, the world's fucked, the world's changing, but maybe that's what has to happen for us to evolve and to learn, if this is one big exciting experience. The question always remains with me. Are we prisoners in a quarantine facility, or are we on a great expansive spiritual journey? You know, that's the two mindsets that pop into my head quite often. So, yeah, I've been rubbing shoulders with a lot of people, a lot of money. And when I talk about a lot of money, like, some of these guys that we hang out with and we go meet, investors and whatnot, they've got $10 million watches. And they have one watch for every day of the week. So we're talking $70 million worth of watches, just watches. So that, just giving, and there's like eight of these guys, you know, they're all got them. And they're all mates. They're 30, 33, 35 years old, right? Billionaires, fucking minted. And from the outside person's perspective, you'd look in and be like, what the fuck's going on? But understand, these people are in a bubble, just like the bubble I'm in. They're in their own bubble with their super wealthy mates. And then they're in another bubble of wealthy people on Earth. And what happens in those bubbles is, for example, one person may have a $50 million watch, right? And all the other guys have got the $10 million watches, like, that's a bit excessive. Like, that's a bit much. So they're like, I'm not as bad as that guy, you know? But someone else looking into that bubble are like, those motherfuckers have got $10 million watches. And this person looking in has got a $1.4 million watch. It says bubble, 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 right? And there's all the people they hang out with who are in that realm. You're all hanging out with people that you resonate with. That's what happens on Earth. We're creatures of habit and creatures of habitat. And basically, then you have the normal people looking in at anyone else and like, fucking look at these guys, fuck. And there's a negative connotation, but they're not inherently bad people. They're just in a bubble. Now, the common theme of hanging out with these people a lot lately is that they actually haven't got fulfillment and purpose, and they're bored. And we went out for one night a while back, and it was a $40,000 night. Dinner and drinks was 40 grand. Seven people, $40,000 was the bill. $20,000 bottles of Dom Perignon and champagne and all this expensive liquor and private booths and, you know, $5,000 dinner at this expensive restaurant, right? Crazy, right? That would be a bit excessive for a normal person, but it's not for these guys. And But after a bunch of drinks, the common theme was they're like, bro, we're bored. We just do this all the time. We don't know what we're doing. And that's the part that's been missing is fulfillment. And when I went to this this presentation recently and I spoke with these guys, they spoke a lot about fulfillment. And he was saying, he's like, Nate, like you've got to have these purposes and these goals. And the lucky thing about me is that my goals are so big to do with making change in the planet and all that, that I've never had an issue with fulfillment because I'm always striving towards making change. And so what I'm thinking about doing soon is I'm going to be doing mentoring and I get a bit of wealth coach strategy stuff along those lines, but I'm going to be mentoring a whole bunch of people with insane amounts of money and waking them up. That's going to be the next role where I'm going to be the bridge between consciousness, awareness, and all the things that we're doing into the realms of people who have got insane amounts of money. So that's an interesting kind of role that's coming up for me at the moment, and almost be like a mentorship / tour guide in a sense, where I get to work with these people, hang out with these people, and find what their passions are, find what they want to do in the world, and then hone in on that and do it. So that's an interesting paradigm, and so these people are not bad people, and they're not part of the New World Order. They're just people who made a lot of fucking money, and their mates made a lot of money. And then I imagine what happens, because I've heard some of the stories, you know, what does happen with really wealthy people is that their old friends start hating on them and asking for money and doing this and doing all these things and getting triggered and like, oh, you got all that money, your life's easier, whatever it is. There's all these really negative connotations that come on. And it's like, it's not easy to build a fucking billion-dollar business. It's not easy to create huge amounts of wealth. And if it was, that person who's projecting on you would be doing it as well. So it's like there's a real thing that happens where it's like what you're saying and the way you're acting is actually not okay. Like holding on to wealth. Wealth is energy. Money is energy. And it's very hard in this world, especially now, to create huge amounts of money, because that's the way the world is. So it's a funny thing where people don't respect the fact that that's very difficult and it's a lifelong process to do that. And so, yeah, fulfillment is a big thing. Fulfillment, what's your purpose? Like, what is your role? Like, what makes you happy? What would you do in this world? And back to the traveling thing, the way the world would be if we had a just planet that wasn't run by psychopaths and off-world beings, which have pretty much hijacked most of the people in the higher echelons. That's what's going on. Your people are like, oh, how do these people make these decisions? Well, they're not actually connected to their soul. There's another entity which is inside their body, which is running the show. These off-world entities are actually hijacking human beings. And if you've taken the jab, it's much easier to access people once they've taken that, because it's literally the mark of the beast. And it opens the energy field to allow access in. It's like having a backdoor into a computer system. You got the passwords. So that's why we're like, oh, why the fuck is the world the way it is? It's because off-world beings are hijacking the higher realms of the people. And there's a lot of interface and interference with aliens and off-world entities also. So this is a very non-physical realm. We only see through, you know, 2-3% of the visible light spectrum, and the rest of the stuff that's going on this planet, we can't see it. We can feel it. We know stuff's happening, but we can't see it with our physical eyes. And that's a very interesting paradigm. That movie, They Live, if you've ever watched that movie, that's a really good movie to watch that explains a lot of stuff. Let's just say, let me just charge. Oh, if I plug my phone in, is it going to fucking cut off? I'm actually worried if I plug it in. Let me see. I'm going to take a risk. It's only 14 minutes. Yes. All right, cool. I've done that once before. I unplugged my phone and it cut the fucking power off as well. So bubbles within bubbles, that's how we're all living. Now, if the world was a just normal place, we wouldn't be paying for power, water, food, or places to live. And it's very hard for people to even wrap their head around that type of living. And I'm going to get into a talk about my life and me exiting the matrix in a sense and all the realizations that I have along the way to going to get me to this point. But the way the world should, could, and it will be eventually is that basically there'll be a living wage, get a couple of grand a week. Because the point of being here is evolution and growth, right? If we're not in a prison planet, that is. So travel is so important to get overseas and to go to different countries and see things and get different energy grids, different ley lines, different people, different cultures, all that. And getting into the point where you're not in fight or flight mode all the time, because that's what messes most people up, is that everyone's in fight or flight the whole time. And it's like when people go on holidays, they go on holidays for a couple of days and they just fall asleep the whole time because their bodies have been so stressed out for so long that they're actually just like go lay by the pool and they're like, because they haven't actually relaxed for 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, ever. Some people have never actually just relaxed, especially if you're a single mum, you've got kids and shit like that. You're always on. You know, it's the worst thing for health is being on all the time and not being able to shut off. But imagine a world where, you know, you get paid to experience life. Yeah, everyone does work, everyone contributes to civilization, so things get built, roads get done, and whatever has to happen. But ultimately, you are free to do what you need to do. That's the type of reality that we could, should, and will be living in. And it's about connecting. There'll be a patch of grass down there by the river, and then 10 of you will be like, oh, let's just sleep up here tonight. You just lay your sleeping bags out, and everyone sleeps by the river, wakes up the morning and sings songs together. They do the meditation and yoga and sun blessings and whatever it is, and talk and connect and have deep, honest conversations. Like, that's where the growth happens, and that's where freedom begins, when you just choose what you want to do when you want to do it, rather than being on a time pressure of I have to work 60 years because of mortgage, because of this, because of that, all these things. That's the slavery construct. That's a slavery system. And I find it funny, like Andrew Tate, he speaks about exiting the matrix. And his like paradigm is like, oh, you got to be a billionaire with fuck your money to exit the matrix. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, that is the matrix. The materialism and all that stuff actually is the matrix. They're the possessions that possess you. And, you know, he's talking about being outside of the matrix, and yet he gets arrested and spends 90 days in fucking solitary confinement. It was probably good for him. It was probably actually very strengthening for him, actually. But it shows, like, you know, you got all this money, but then you just get arrested. So you're not outside the matrix, you're actually firmly in it. Exiting the matrix is actually the opposite. The matrix is a spiritual journey. Getting outside of the matrix and getting into the spiritual journey and seeing beyond the 3D. And he also bought into religion. He chose Muslim as his religion, is Islam, when all the religions were created by secret society to divide us. Yeah, there's some good nuggets of information in all the religions, and you should research all of them. Like, don't choose one. If you're going to choose a religion, why don't you research the 13,000 religions that are on Earth right now? Research all of them, and then create your own religion that works for yourself. Take all the good bits out of all the religions, leave all the shitty parts. And then just live by that. You're not religious, you're a spiritual being, and you have the information of all corners of the globe. That's what we should be doing, right? So for him, choosing a religion is like, you're so in the matrix, bro. Come on. Fuck. Like, and I respect and love a lot of what he says and a lot of stuff that he says. I'm like, that's a bit extreme. And it's all good. I take the good bits, I leave the rest. You know, no one should be getting offended by anyone. If you're getting triggered, there's stuff you need to work on. And this kind of coincides with my journey myself, where I used to have trucks. I used to be in transport and civil engineering and excavation, and I drove trucks for other people for many years. And then I bought a truck, and then I started working massive hours. And it's a funny thing when you're in transport, because for some reason you just end up working massive hours. It's like it becomes a little cult, where everyone's competing on who works the most hours. And I don't know why, it's fucking weird. You get more hours, more money. Yeah, it's great. But the more hours, the less life you have, the less time you have with your partner, your family, and all these other beautiful things that you're missing out on. And so, anyway, I had this beautiful truck, and it was a show truck, and it looked like Optimus Prime out of Transformers. And I used to cart trailers around and do the road works at nighttime as well. So I'll work all day from kind of 12 hours to 16 hours a day. Then I'd park around the back. I'd have a couple of hours sleep if I even got to bed. And then I'd go hook up my other trailer at a second trailer around the corner. And I'd drive two streets away, and then I'd start doing the nighttime road works. I'd work from 3:30 in the morning till about, so I work from 10 o'clock at night till about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Then I'd fall asleep if I could. I was a really bad sleeper back then. And I wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I drive around two streets away back to my other workshop, and I start working there, and I do a 12 to 16 hour day. I was doing night works two or three times a week at least, and I was doing the other job 5 days a week. So mammoth fucking hours, humongous hours, fully in the matrix. And my whole reality was fixated on the weekend. You know, it was like I was fixated on, I guess you would say, 4 o'clock in the morning when a normal person would leave work and you get to go off and go to the pub with your mates and hang out with the boys and then write yourself off all weekend because you don't want to go back to work. That's a slavery construct. You know, that's an escapism 101. A lot of people do that in different realms. It could be the pub, it could be boats, cars, movies, eating food, whatever it is. We're all escaping from the fact that our life isn't a holiday. And ultimately, what we want to be achieving is creating enough wealth in a short period of time, but also so that our life is a holiday, so we don't need to escape from our lives because our lives are so good, we don't actually need to go anywhere to have a reset to come back. And not saying that going away and resetting is not a good thing. It's a great thing. Like I said, traveling is a good thing. It's a spiritual pilgrimage. We should be traveling all around the world and seeing all these things and enjoying every fucking thing this life has to offer. Okay? So, yeah, massive hours, humongous hours, day and night, day and night. And I always had a lot of side hustles, always made a lot of money on the side. I've always been very good at making money, very good at making money illegally. And then the transport, I guess, was a legal job as well. And it wasn't even in my reality. It wasn't even part of my construct in my mind to be like, could I actually not work? Could I actually not go to work? Like, do I actually have to have a job? A job? And I was like, fuck. And I was making more money doing my other stuff than I was truck driving. I mean, truck drivers making good money, like 5 to 10 grand a week. It's very hard to make good money truck driving these days because all the immigrants have come over here, Chinese and Pakistanis and Indians, and they work for nothing. And then what happens? The whole industry wage kind of gets smaller, or they get the jobs, and then people stop spending money on their vehicles. The vehicles become unsafe. People are tired and run down, and that's what's happening at the moment in the world. There's a civilization collapse. You've got the Mexicans coming into America to collapse America, and it's an internal war, it's a civil war, right? And you had the same thing happening during the Syrian war when there was Syrian refugees generally needing to come out of Syria for sure, but majority of them were fighting age men from Pakistan and other countries around that area who were just trying to get into Germany and France. And look at Germany and France and those countries now, they're shitholes, woke leftist shitholes. I mean, at least France still are just mighty protesters, and they're fierce people who stand up for what's right and against corruption. So, France is an incredibly, incredibly strong nation, and I have full respect for them. But Germany is still going through the Holocaust trauma of what we did. They've all bought into that Holocaust scenario, and oh my God, there's a whole topic in itself about what really happened and how many people actually died and all that. The attack was on the German and the Russian people in those wars. That was about depopulation and getting rid of a superpower. The German people getting rid of them. That was the actual goal of that war. It was crazy. Everything we think we know about history is a lie, pretty much. So that's what's been happening in the transport industry. Anyway, I digressed about that. And I was just like, fuck, maybe I could. Can I get out of this? Anyway, I ended up not working for a couple of days because I had to get my diff fixed or something. And I was just at home and I'm thinking to myself, man, like, my mum was packing my lunch for me. She'd literally pack a fucking gigantic, massive box for like 3 days worth of food because I wouldn't come home for 3 or 4 days. And then you'd run out of food. And I'm driving a 26-meter long truck, a fucking massive B double around Sydney, that you can't just pull up to a nice cafe and jump out. The only places you can pull up are like factory areas in the middle of nowhere, maybe in some factory street. Or into a gigantic service station, and what do you got? Hungry Jack's, KFC, or Macca's? And let me tell you, I ate a fair bit of Macca's in my time. And when you got no food and you're tired, you've been working all day, what do? You got to pull out, you got to eat. You got to eat, you know? I wasn't into fasting back then, but pass out and when you're driving down the freeway and crash into someone. And I was just looking at my life. I'm going, I'm working all these hours, making all this money. Yeah, I'll go out on a Saturday night with my girlfriend. We're having dinner. And halfway through dinner, I'm literally like falling asleep at the table because I've just been pumping all these hours. And I was just like, this is not okay. And I realized that the transport industry and my truck and everything, I love trucks. I love driving it. My truck was so fucking cool. If I parked in the street somewhere, you could have a Ferrari and Lamborghinis and everything parked. No one would even look at those cars. They'll just come up to the truck and go, fucking, oh my God, look at this thing. It was wild. And so I love driving, I love the truck, but not working, basically. And I'd realized what I'd done is I'd put lots of makeup on a pig. This job, this industry, this thing that I was doing wasn't serving me. And I was getting plenty of decent signs from the universe that this is not what I should be doing. But I kept forcing, forcing, forcing. And I think a lot of you guys would have or are in this situation now where something's not really serving you and you're kind of just doing it because you're comfortable. You know, I was comfortable. I work with good people. I like the people I work with. All the guys that I worked with, they all had flash trucks as well. We had the best trucks in Australia. And we all looked after our trucks. We all worked together. We're all clowning around on the two-way. And when I come into a job or into a role, or into a profession or a workspace or whatever, I bring change. That's what I am. I'm a tornado. And I'll come in and I'll create joyfulness and stupidity and banter and happiness and fun and things. And I'll make everyone level up, you know. And I had a good workspace and good people and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as much as I could. You know, there's a limit to how much enjoyment you can have sitting in a truck all day long at red lights, at traffic lights, and people cutting you off everywhere and all the dumb shit that happens on the road day in, day out. It's pretty frustrating, you know. It gave me really thick skin. And so I'm starting to add to my life at that point in time. I'm like, it's not serving me. So now my soul is like, all right, what can we do to make this better? Yeah, I've got a great truck. That's good. And I made my sleeper in the back of it really comfortable because I was sleeping in there 4 nights a week in the back of my truck. And then I was like, all right, so I need to do something. So I got this big metal thing fabricated that I used to hang on the back of the trailer. And then I'd lock it into this thing that I made, and I'd do chin-ups on it, and I'd do push-ups on the ground, and I had my boxing set up where I'd have this thing around my head with a tennis ball. I'd punch that, and so I was doing as much as I could because I come from a kickboxing background, and training 5 days a week to being really fit to then watching my fitness go down the hill because I'm working all these hours, not really training. So that was a bit frustrating too, watching that kind of dissipate. And then I started doing podcasts, listening to lots of podcasts. And I'd buy this yacht book. It was a big book, like an inch thick, and it was like all these big, massive boats, you know, huge, big boats and stuff. And I would actually look at that magazine, look through all the boats, and then I would just put a vision in my mind of this boat. And I'd be fixated on the weekend, or I'd be fixated on this yacht and this experience. And I wouldn't even be present during the week because when you're working all week and you're a slave, you just want to get to the weekend. And then by the weekend, you are weakened from working all week. You've gotten weak from working all week, and then you're weakened by the weekend. Do you understand that? That slavery mindset, 9 to 5, 5 days a week, 2 days off. 90% of your year is working, 95%, and less than 5% is doing what you want to do. That's called slavery, unfortunately. But it's a comfortable slavery concept. It's an open-air prison. So you get to choose the color of your car. You get to choose what job you want to do and if you want to go to the park over here and there. But apart from those little choices you get, what food you put in your mouth and maybe you want to do a holiday here and there, you're a slave. You're ultimately a slave. We're all slaves. So all these concepts and ideas are starting to come into my mind. And I focused on those yachts enough that in the next few years, I'm going to be buying one. And the whole manifestation thing is actually completely true. Whoever has the most profound precision focus on something, you will get it. And let me tell you, my focus is relentless. When I want something, I get it. That's all there is to it. In the next couple of years, mark my words, I'm going to have a massive yacht. Work my ass off for But that's the epiphany of not being present. Literally not enjoying during the week. We're not doing things during the week because we're focused on a future goal or a future thing. It's tunnel vision. And it's very easy to get caught in that mindset. You've got to be very careful of it. Very fucking careful. So I started implementing podcasts, started watching podcasts, and I had two TVs on my dash. The bonnet of this truck is so big that even if you have a TV, a fucking big TV on your dash, it doesn't actually block any of your view. So I was watching DVDs and podcasts and doing this thing, starting to learn. And as the information is starting to come on, listen to Joe Rogan many, many years ago and all these people, the inspiration's coming in and the concepts and the mind concepts. And a guy did talk about slavery and the working week and things like that. And then that day, I took off 2 days and I was walking around Bondi Beach. I drove down to Bondi and I was like, what the fuck am I living at my mum's house for when I could be living down here at Bondi Beach at North End with happy people, pretty people, healthy people, sun, beaches, good shops, you know, like exercise, fitness. It seems like it's sunny at Bondi all the time. It just shines on that area, you know. And that was right around the time when actually my girlfriend, she actually cheated on me with one of my good mates. And that was a brilliant experience. That was a really brilliant experience. And that was a thing that made me jump. That motivated me. I needed that to happen. And I remember when it happened, I was actually super tired. I just worked like a massive week, 4 days, four nights, and I was fucked. And I mean, anything at that point in time, when you're that tired, like one little thing can break the camel's back. And you like now when I get tired, if I haven't slept for a couple of days, it can take me back into the trucking trauma of being tired all the time. So after a couple of nights of not good sleep, I'm actually pretty like, I'm not feeling good. I'm still working through that part of my life. And I remember my mate ringing me at work and he's like, bro, he goes, such and such, we're hooking up at the pub last night. I was like, get fucked. And I had a feeling, I had an inclination that it was happening, you know. And when you're not around, when you're at work all the time, when you're driving all the time, like, how are you going to have a good nourishing relationship? How? And I've been trying to get out of that relationship for a year anyway, but I was caught in, right? And this is the thing that's happening with people. A lot of you people out there now are on the edge of the cliff. You've got a parachute on and you're ready to jump. When are you going to jump? All you have to do is jump and you'll work out everything else when you land, right? But what's happening is people are going to jump, but they've got these cords attached to their back, got the matrix, like that metal thing plugged into the back of their head, back of the arm, in the back. All these cords are tapped in and you look around and one's to an old relationship. There's a cord from your back going to an old relationship, to an old job that you're still in that you don't really like. Beliefs, mindset, trauma. Oh, this person did this to me. You know, there's all these cords that are holding us back from jumping. And that's the only thing that's stopping us. It's nothing physical or real. They're just beliefs. They're just paradigms. Like, oh, I need to be working my whole life. I need to be in transport. I need to work till I'm 60 to get my pension or whatever these limiting beliefs are. But I remember driving and actually I just got a new contract with Coles. It was a big contract that I just scored and I was going to be doing all this work. And but a lot of the places that I had to drive to, my truck was too big to get in. And the guy's like, look, just drive our truck for the first week so you can suss out all the docks to see if you can do the work. And anyway, I jumped in the truck. I didn't have my GPS. There was no fucking street directory. And I was not comfortable driving this other truck because it was a cab over, not a bonneted truck. And basically you sit much further over and it's confusing driving a different truck for a while. Anyway, put it that way. So I was stressed, tired, run down. Super fucking tired, really, really tired and driving this truck that I haven't driven before with no street directory. I'm driving up like Gosford or the Central Coast somewhere, which I never do runs up there anyway. And I'm driving around this Coles, this huge supermarket, trying to work out where the fuck you get in, how you back in. And every place, usually there's this like pamphlet in the truck. And each place you go to, where it be like Warringah Mall or fucking this place or that place, it says, go past Dock 2, back in here, pull forward here, watch the tree, watch the air conditioning unit, go in, go left. Like there's a full-on process to get in every one. And if you just back in somewhere, it's fucked. So anyway, that was all going on. So I was super stressed. And then I rang my ex, and she's just fucking screaming at me, firing up and... because I go, what's happening? You're fucking cheating on me. And she's like, he's twice the man you'll ever be. And all this hectic shit, you know, it was like, pum, 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 spears in my heart. And anyway, I hung up and I bawled my eyes out. I cried my eyes out. I was so emotionally drained anyway. And I rang my mum. Mummy, And my mum's such a boss. She's such a fucking legend. And the older I get, the more I realize like how much of a fucking amazing mum I've had. And dad. My dad's great too, you know, such a gentleman. And she's like, you've been wanting to get out of this relationship for a whole year. She said, do not do anything stupid. Don't message back. Don't ring them. And don't go and hurt anyone. Because at that time, I was just deeply been doing my kickboxing and thug life. And I grew up in the inner west. And yeah, a lot of kind of thug life stuff happened. And I got back to my work. And then I had a new boss, this Lebanese guy. And I fucking started crying in the office, like fully bawling my eyes out. And he didn't know how to deal with it, you know. He didn't know how to deal with a guy crying, like, because a lot of people aren't tapped into their emotions. And, you know, he just kind of stood 2 meters away from me, like, like allergic to me, you know, like, ooh, what's going on here? And then there's a girl in the office too, this beautiful girl. I ended up dating her after that. It's like, because it's like she felt the depth of like where I was coming from. And like a few months later, I ended up dating her for a little bit. And I got home. And her mum's like, go home. She goes, have a good sleep. Just sleep it off. Wake up in the morning and see how you feel. Just do not do any rash decisions tonight, you know, because part of me is like, I'm going to go to this guy's house. I'm going to fucking break his jaw. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I was like, nah, stop that shit. I'm starting to go through my awakening at this point. So this mentality is leaving me. And I woke up in the morning. I had the best sleep of my life. My God, the best sleep. I don't know if it's because I needed to cry and release, or if it's just because 10 ton of bricks had been lifted off my shoulders and I was exiting a toxic relationship. But I woke up and I was like, ding! And I was like moonwalking through the kitchen, like past my mum, like, yeah, boy. And she's like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, I fucking felt amazing. And I said, is this normal to feel that good the next day after a breakup? And I realized that I've had a massive cord in my back stopping me from jumping for a long time. But seeing I was so tired, working so many hours, I couldn't visualize and see that I could get a better job or move out of home or get a better girlfriend or whatever it was. I don't mean get a better girlfriend like you're always trying to find someone better, but that relationship wasn't working and I knew it. But I wasn't able to actually even envision the fact that I could do better in my life because I was so tired, run down, and I had these cords connected to my back, my business, my job, my belief system, my ex-partner, my relationships, whatever it was. And that was the moment that I jumped. That fucking forced me to jump. And my nose is pretty smashed up at that time from lots of kickboxing and fights and all types of stuff. And literally, I had a massive beard and my hair was all scruffy as fuck. And I went and I got a nose job like about 5 weeks later. I got my nose fixed. I couldn't sleep. And actually, the nose job completely changed my sleeping to the point where I was waking up feeling refreshed and rejuvenated. And I was actually spewing that I didn't do it earlier. I was like, fuck, this has been a problem for a long time now where I'd been going to bed but not waking up rejuvenated. And so I got that. I got back into the gym crazy. I moved out the Bondi, moved into the dream place. I was swimming 3 times a day because I just started doing the nighttime road work. So I stopped doing the daytime job and I was just doing the night work. So I basically would get home at 3:30 in the morning. I'll wake up like in 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I'll go to the beach twice a day and then I'll go to work at 8:39. So I had the whole day to hang out at Bondi Beach. And so yeah, basically then I got a haircut. I got this crazy new haircut and a whole new style. Within like, you know, literally 2 months, I'd completely reinvented myself. New job, a beautiful new relationship, moved out, swimming, healthy, eating good food, meditation teacher, going through the awakening and all this stuff, you know. And I wouldn't have jumped. I mean, I probably would have jumped eventually, but like how much longer? Like a year, 6 months, 2 years? How long was I willing to sit in that unhealthy situation before I actually jumped? So that relationship was a perfect thing for me to jump. And all my mates, when it happened, they were ringing me like, oi, when are you going to fucking get him? You're going to get him, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not doing shit. I'm letting it go. And everyone's like, ah, you're going to wait. You're going to wait a few months, then you're going to get him. Hey, what are you going to do? You're going to fuck him up real good. Like everyone fully thought that I was going to go dark side. But I was actually like going through this great awakening. I'm like, nah. And my mum said to me, she goes, you've been waiting for a year to get out of this relationship. Do not waste your chance, you know. And I said to the boys, I said, look, this partner is going to go back to her behavior before I met her. And this guy and her together is going to be the most toxic thing ever, and it's going to be a circus. I said, just sit back and watch and wait. I'm not doing nothing. And it ended up being a very, very toxic relationship. And I'm not going to say any more, but it was very, very bad and didn't last very long. And it was everything I said it was going to happen. And I still speak to this person, and I have no problems with the guy either. Like, I don't hang out with the person because they're caught in a lot of drama, but I've never said a bad word about either of them. And I fully respect them, and they're good people, and it's fine. You know, it's just a lesson. It is what it is. There's no point hating on ex-partners or hating on people. Think about how different my life would be now if I just constantly had this trauma around that. And I was constantly like, fuck that guy. He fucking cheated on me. He did this. Fuck her. Fuck them. Fuck them. Imagine that. For the last 10 years, that's been like a small part of my reality. Imagine how much less energy I have to have a beautiful relationship now, to create the business I've been creating, to create these world-changing projects and to be the leader and stuff that I've been doing for the last 15 years. I wouldn't be able to do that if my energy's tied up in these people. So something you need to really think about is like all these issues that you have with people or family, friends, jobs, fucking whatever happened, let it go, guys. You've got to let it fucking go. Apologize, say sorry, and just move on and clear that stuff. Do a fire burn, chuck it in the fire and get rid of it. We don't have the time, energy to be giving energy to people like that. And if you're throwing spears at someone, understand that there's a mirror and those spears are coming back like twofold. So anything you're projecting at people, you're projecting it yourself. So you're better off just projecting positivity at people and getting those positivity nuggets back. So that was like basically the start of me exiting the matrix and then realizing like, do I actually have to work? So I was at Bondi and doing the night shift, which was great, making good money, doing very small hours, good job. But that still wasn't enough. I was like, I don't want to be driving trucks. I don't want to be doing this. And I was sitting around the bitumen plant every night, breathing in all the toxins, because you know the shit they pour on the roads, like that emulsion, you smell it when you're driving past the roadworks. Like, I was carting that shit around all day long, full of heavy metals, full of toxins, full of poisons. And I'm sitting in the bitumen plant. I'm just like, this can't be healthy. Like, this cannot be healthy, just sitting here breathing this shit in. And so eventually I just didn't work for like 2 weeks. I did all my other side hustles and I was like, fuck,